Welcome to the Waffle Shop podcast with me, Taylor James. This is the podcast that gets people waffling about their mental health, coping mechanisms, life's minor inconveniences, and the music that soundtracks it all. So join me as I open up shop and have a waffle.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to another episode of the Waffle Shop podcast. Today I'm joined by model, superstar producer, Alex Kirsch. Welcome to the Waffle Shop.
Thank you very much. I'm pleased to be here.
One of probably the hottest days of the year, so I really appreciate it.
No worries. I'm actually in a studio myself, so it's hot where I am as well, man.
This is, we all kind of like, it sounds like really like a nice little start to this, but I always start with something called the weekly waffle, which is something that it's got on my nerves, but when I speak about it with my guests, it makes me feel better. Now I'm going to do that typical British thing and I'm going to go straight in with what's annoyed me, and it's the weather. There's it's that really annoying thing of like, yes, there was moaning like, oh, it's a bit cold. Like, I don't know where this, like the weather's going, like, oh, where's summer? Well, it arrived today.
Yeah. It fluctuates so much. One day it's like -100. The next day it's +100.
Yeah.
And I don't know what clothes to buy. I've been buying coats. I've been buying tank tops. I'm in a tank top now.
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? You go to leave the house and you're like, oh, it's a bit of a bit chilly. I'll whack on a coat. Then literally 2 hours later, you literally want to take everything off. So it's like,
really, the Sahara desert.
Exactly.
It's true.
Oh, we're never happy, are we? Literally.
Exactly,
a good
I was just in Ayia Napa though, and it was so hot there, man.
It's just because you're starting to see all like these. I mean, we don't go into like that serious of a topics on this show, so I don't want to go all like about like the whole global warming thing. But like, I saw a video on TikTok of someone walking. I think, I don't know where they were, like in Cyprus or somewhere, and their flip flops were melting on the tarmac.
I saw that as well.
As they were walking across the road.
I know, that's crazy. Imagine you're wearing like Air Forces, and next thing you know, they vanished.
To be fair, I can't say anything. I was lucky enough to go to Glastonbury this year, and I'm out of a certain age now where like I go comfort over style. So I've invested in a pair of Crocs, and I underestimated the power of the sun that day because I've got Croc tan lines.
Croc tan, no way, where the holes are.
Yeah, oh, to be fair, like, I feel like I'm going to have to like prove this.
Well, I want to see it.
Yeah, so if anyone's actually listen to this, like, I'm really sorry, but this is actually really bad. I don't know why.
Only worn Crocs once in my life, and my friends slated me for it, so they never saw the light of day again.
See, that's what I used to think about them, but they're incredibly comfortable. I'm gonna have to like apologize for like getting my toes out to my guest. Really sorry.
That was quite forward.
Let's see.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah.
That is mad. Yeah. That is mad. You've put me off wearing Crocs now.
Yeah, sorry about that. This episode of the podcast is sponsored by Crocs. is there anything that kind of gets on your nerves that you want to get off your chest today?
I mean, seeing as I just went Iron Upper, you know when you're like on a plane and it's usually when you're in the middle seat and then the armrests, like you're trying to get your elbow on an armrest and the people next to you are trying to get it on as well. And you have to like negotiate about it. And when they give you no room whatsoever, that gets on my nerves.
Do you do the whole kind of like, do you get in there first and like, no, this is mine? Or are you
know what? I try and take like the very top of the armrest and hope they go for the bottom and don't like knock my arm off. I try and like do a deal with my arms without speaking though. But yeah, sometimes it can be crazy. They just knock your arm off and I'm like, what?
Do you know what I love about this? Because I think it's the first person that's actually ever come on here and said that. Because usually I get like slow walkers, or I get like people who don't signal when they're driving and stuff. But that one, I don't think many people talk about it. It's the same on a train, isn't it? If you're sat next to someone, like where does your elbow go?
Exactly. I mean, elbows are a very important part of your anatomy. Exactly. You need them to be comfy.
And you're on that. You're like you're stuck in a confined space for like a considerable like amount of like time.
It's like 5 hours. And also, I was next to a random stranger in Iron Upper on the way back to England. And it's a 5-hour flight. And I needed to go to the toilet. But they were on like, there were two of them. And they were both snoring. Like they were fully asleep. They were dreaming by this point. And I didn't know what to do. So I had to like try and climb over them. And when I tried to go into the aisle, I accidentally stepped on one of them. Like I stepped on my leg. And then I woke up, like they see the ghost. I quickly ran away to the toilet and came back. But yeah,
it's awkward though, isn't it?
You don't know what to do. Do you tap them? Do you say excuse me? And then I don't know.
That's the thing, because you don't know how they're going to wake up either. Because it depends on like how deep a sleep they're in. That you're potentially in line for like a swift elbow to the face or other parts of the body.
Imagine that. I'm already scared of elbows as it is with the armrest. Just bang.
Exactly. Coming back from Iron Upper with a black eye, trying to explain that to the family.
Yeah,
it's great.
I probably expected it anyway.
Well, to be fair, you know, Iron Upper, like we're talking about, like, you know, it's summer. We're talking about like summer anthems, which obviously you've created an absolute belter of a song.
You.
But before we get into that, I like especially when I have a musical guest on the show, I like to kind of dive into the history of, you know, how that journey started. So I've had people on the show who have kind of, you know, they went to see like a certain artist and was like, that's what I want to be when I grow up, or they fell in love with an instrument. How did that kind of like musical journey start for yourself?
So, I mean, before music even started, really, I guess I could go back to primary school when I was like five.
Yeah, let's go.
So I was in primary school and every parent's evening, the teachers would be like, oh, Alex is so laid back. Like he's taken it to the next level. Like he's laid back in the sense where I'm trying to teach him about King Henry VIII and I'm asleep. I do not care. So I guess from there, I kind of subconsciously knew that I wouldn't want to do any office job or anything like that, really.
Yeah.
And my mum did an office job. She does an office job. So I know it's good, but not for me personally.
Yeah.
So from there, I kind of realized, my concentration is not really in it. And then wind a bit forward, my dad is actually a producer himself.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And he started producing when he was my age or a little bit older, and he was really successful. So like back in I don't know if you listened to the early 2000s music, like trance and stuff like that.
I'm in my 30s, of course.
Did you?
Like, yeah, that's what, when I first started to go out, like that's what the kind of the music was. It was like Bass Hunter, like Cascada, or all that kind of like anthems. Amazing. Now.
Amazing. Yeah. So he had a number three in the official UK charts. He had the opera song with Charlotte Church, if you know Charlotte Church.
Wow.
so that was his biggest one, I'd say. And he had a number nine called Drifting Away by Lange. So it was a really big trance hit.
Yeah.
Cool. And now he's having like a loading career. So he has like three jobs. He's like my dad, my inspiration, and my dadinger. He manages it as well. And the
mate, that's amazing.
And the great thing is he doesn't take a penny. I don't need to pay for a manager. I'm like, yes.
Too bad. It puts you in a very, very good position.
It's true. So at 5 years old, he taught me how to play classical guitar. And I retired at seven. I was like, nah, this isn't for me. I don't want to play Beethoven. And then I was just a normal seven-year-old just living my life, except for the part. Every day, there'd be really talented singers coming through. There'd be like Connor Reeves, Chico from The X Factor, Amanda Wilson, Roseanne.
Oh, wow.
Angie Brown, Gareth Gates, all these people just walking through. Obviously, I didn't really know who anyone was because I was like seven and all that. But growing up around him and my dad's mate, and who's now become my really good mate, Joe Killington, who's an amazing writer. So I grew up around it, but I didn't think of anything of it, really. And then at age 14, my dad sat me down one day and he was like, I'm going to teach you how to produce, see if you like it. And he taught me for like, I'd say about 4 hours. From then on, I became addicted. I have to go to like Producers Anonymous. I love
Hi,
it.
I'm Alex and I'm a producer.
Yes, I am here. I've been producing for like 7 years now. Please help me. Yeah. So from there, I fell in love with it. And I listened to some inspirations like Avicii, if you know Avicii, Jonas Blue, all these people. And I just thought, wow, this is all I want to do.
Yeah.
This is all I want to do.
Take me back a little bit then, because obviously you said like your dad had like the hits with like Charlotte Church, and then he had like the trance track. Yeah. Growing up, I imagine that music that was being played in your house was like from all genres. Like what was kind of being played like when you were growing up?
It was mental. There was like my dad obviously playing trance and like heavy like house music. My granddad, he was playing like Frank Sinatra, Fly Me to the Moon. My uncle, he likes like Donnie Hathaway and soul music.
Yeah.
My grandma's Slovakian, so I don't know what she was playing, but it was a bit mad. I liked it. I had a nice beat. And also, I forgot to say, actually, so the reason I started learning classical guitar is because my dad, when he was like 6 years old, he was like a child prodigy. Like he came out my grandma's womb just knowing how to play guitar. Like he fully just could play anything by heart. And he went on a
that's talent.
Exactly. And he went on a program called, you know, Opportunity Knocks. I don't know.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's a bit before my time, Alex. Yeah. But yeah. I'm aware
don't
of
don't worry,
the show.
I thought you weren't old enough. I had to ask that. Yeah, so he went on that and got into the finals just playing classical guitar with what he did. And so from that, that's kind of like the original of how I started with classical guitar. But I guess it helps because then you can produce with all the theory and stuff like that. But
I think that's possibly one of the best stories I've had and the answers I've had to that question.
Wow.
Genuinely, like I've had a lot of people on the show, and it technically, like, music is literally in your blood.
Yep, literally, I can't escape it. Actually, well, you say that, but my mum doesn't have a musical bone in her body. Trust, if you heard my mum sing, you'd probably end this podcast right now. You'd walk out.
To be fair, it really makes me laugh because when I do have these conversations, I think a lot of people think I work in like either the music industry or if I have some kind of like musical talent.
Yeah.
No, not a single ounce. But I love it. And to be fair, like when obviously I kind of had the conversation about like you coming on the show, I get so nerdy with the production side of music. Like two of my favorite producers are Timbaland and Mark Ronson. Like anything like that they're on. To be fair, even Pharrell. If I hear like that, like first four counting, like on any kind of like, you know, Pharrell's produced it.
Yeah, I love it, man.
Other than your dad, is there anyone that's kind of like influenced the music that you're kind of like creating now or even want to create?
Yeah. So I'd say I play piano and I play guitar, and I actually learned a harmonica at one point, but that probably got on people's nerves. They were like, what the hell is that?
I think it'd be easier to say like what instruments you don't play.
Yeah. I play every instrument in the world, even the triangle. That one was the easiest.
That's talent.
Yeah, so there's a guy called Scott Storch. I don't know if you know him, but he was like a jazz pianist, but then he turned into a producer, and he's a bit of a mental producer, actually. Yeah. He like smokes weed whilst he's producing and all that. Not that I do that.
No, this is a good Catholic show.
Exactly. Yeah, so he's definitely one of my inspirations, Scott Storch, because I just like how much of an instrumentalist he is.
Mm.
And then there's another one, which is probably my biggest, Avicii.
Yeah.
And he, for me, is my favorite producer in the whole world. Just the fact that he does it all from a laptop. Like he all he had to have is a laptop on a train or a plane or wherever, with people's elbows got going on. And yeah, I just love the fact that he could do it all electronically.
Yeah.
And actually, another thing about Avicii, so my dad actually wrote a song with Avicii, and Avicii could...
Shut up.
Yeah, so my dad wrote it with a guy called Joe Killington, who I've mentioned, and a guy called Sam Gray. And it was so close to being released, and then obviously it did, because of the sad thing that happened. But yeah, so when that happened, I was like, Avicii's even more my hero. He's like, he's the guy. And other than Avicii and Scott Storch, I'd say Jonas Blue, 100%. Yeah. So Jonas Blue, apparently, I'm not a stalker. If Jonas, if you're watching this.
I've been trying to get him on the show. Yeah, I went as far as going to Bali to try and get him on the show.
Oh, really? Amazing. Yeah.
I mean, that wasn't the only reason I went, but he was there when I was there, and I took a photo.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, so he apparently went to the same secondary school as me.
And, wow.
And what I've heard is I think he left when he was like 14 or something. And I just thought, I hate school and I love producing. So obviously I'm in university now, so it didn't work out well. I'm still studying, man. But actually, I've only been to 2 out of 200 lectures this year. In my second
year. Anyone listening to this podcast, stay in school, kids.
Yeah, this is not advised. Also, Sheffield University, if you're listening, I'm lying.
You weren't here. It's yeah. Lying. You can't prove a thing.
Yeah. I'd say they're my top three producers of all time. And obviously my dad.
Yeah.
So them four.
A lot of the music that you were producing, and probably still are producing, was kind of a bit more kind of, I don't want to say grime or rappy kind of thing.
Yeah.
What made that kind of leap, I guess, into like the dance kind of area? Was that just something where your heart lies?
Okay, so when I was 14, the first production I ever did, I actually mimicked, like I imitated one of Avicii's productions. Yeah. That was the first thing I ever did. So I guess it started with EDM. And then at 16, I got a track signed to a label called Perfect Havoc, which started off Joel Corry.
Wow, and, okay.
Yeah, so that was my big thing. Like when I got that, I was like, amazing. This is really good. And then that came out and it didn't do too well. It didn't do too well. Like, I think it got like 80,000 streams. So for a 16-year-old,
as a starting point, mate, that is it's like, phenomenal. Yeah.
I was in like my secondary school playground. I was like, look, I've got 80,000 streams. They're probably all me though. I was probably like on repeat. Me, my mum, and my dad. So I did that. And then at 18 years old, my dad was waiting for me to do a really good thing. And I produced like an organ house beat called Never Let It Go.
Yeah.
And my dad finally thought, oh, this is the one that I'm going to send in to the major labels. And he, it was a bit of luck. I'm not going to lie. I did get a bit lucky because obviously if your dad's like a cobbler or something, then he's probably not going to have a contact to the major label. It's lucky my dad.
No, but you also play to your strengths, didn't you? Like obviously if your dad's a cobbler, you're going to have like the nicest shoes.
You're
so
going to have the best shoes in town.
Exactly. So you'd be, especially if that's where like your passion is and that's something that genuinely kind of gets you out of bed in the morning. Like, honestly, if you were sat here and saying like the opposite, like, oh no, my dad did this, but I didn't want to use him. I'd be like, come on, like you've got to utilize like the tools that you have.
Exactly. You might as well. Otherwise, you're only losing out. Do you know
exactly.
What I mean? So he sent off my track to an amazing label called Positiva, who's the best label I could ever wish to be on.
Huge dance label, isn't it?
Yeah, they're huge. Yes. I think they started off like, they signed Swedish House Mafia. They even signed an Avicii song. And guess who they signed, like, Fast Car to? Jonas Blue. So it's this, like a cyclical structure. Yeah.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I was like, I started off wanting to get inspired by Jonas Blue, and then I'm like, wow, I'm on the same label as him, and I'm so grateful. So yeah, when Never Let It Go came out, that did really well. It got, like, for my debut single, it got 1.5 million streams. It got to the number one in Apple Music Dance, which I was super happy about.
Wow.
And yeah, from there, I just got addicted to dance. But if you wind on a, like, 3 months on from that single, that's actually where all the rap production came from. So I don't know if you know, okay, like Double Wells, RFB. They're like,
no, but the... I'll do my digging.
Yeah, so they're like the drill rappers. They're like they're scary guys. Yeah. I don't want to meet them in real life. I just produce for them. But I started posting TikToks, and then Double Wells reached out to me, and he was like, oh, can you do me a house beat? So I did that, and that's almost got a million streams. And then from there, I started producing for a lot of rappers. There's a guy called RM, who's amazing. A guy called Bammy, B-A-M-Y. That's got 2.5 million streams on SoundCloud, I think. So that one's done very
this
well.
This is insane.
Yeah, and from there, I was like, and I'm not even going to lie, I manifested to my friends in uni, because in the first year of uni, I was like to my mates, I will... in this following year, work with a lot of rappers in the house, like, genre. And from there, I named them all. I was like, Double L's, I will work with him. RM, I will work with him. So yeah, I manifested it, sort of.
Yeah.
And then from there, my latest single with Molly Rainford. So I was just in my uni accommodation, and I was actually doing boxing at the time. I was like, me and my friends always love doing boxing. We train it.
Yeah.
And I got an email from one of the A&Rs, and he was like, I have this song, could you possibly, like, produce it? And it was written by some amazing guys called the Salt Wives and Matthew Nolan. So they sent that over, and from my bedroom accommodation on a little laptop, I produced it. And then, yeah, a few months later, it got released, and I love it.
Do you know what I'd love? Because, like, I can really feel, like, the passion when you're talking about this. Like, I can't even say the word trajectory. I think that's the word. Is like insane. Like, yeah. You know, even when, like, you're kind of saying, like, these kind of, like, names, and, like, you saying, like, you manifesting them, like, the sheer talent is what's obviously producing this kind of, like, opportunity for you. Is there anyone on that list, or even, like, I mean, I know, like, you've mentioned, like, Jonas Blue, like, so I'm not gonna lie, I expect in the future, Alex, that there'll be an Alex Blue.
Alex Green. I'll say, yes, Alex Green.
like some kind of, like, collaboration. Is there anyone, like, I guess if money wasn't an object, or there was no one, the word no didn't exist, who would be the dream kind of collaboration for yourself?
Oh, that is a very good question. Is it dead or alive or both?
Oh, both. Let's go with both.
Okay, I'll definitely say Adele. I feel like Adele would be great on a house track. I'd say Drake, and that might be a bit of a mad one, but I'd say Drake. I'd say Justin Bieber, Ed Sheeran. All right, now let me think of some people that aren't alive.
There's the deadbeat.
That's pretty bad about something like that. It's got to be Michael Jackson, I feel like. Yeah. I feel like he'd be great on a dance track.
Do you know what I find really sad about... it is sad, obviously, that they're no longer with us, but especially with the music that is around now, like, especially because when people like Michael Jackson, like, they kind of, like, forced... like whether it was R&B, whether it was pop, there was like, they really kind of, I guess, reinvented genres and like kind of brought in influences from pop, R&B, like dance, disco, whatever it might be, to see what kind of music they would be creating now.
It would be very interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Because it's like back in the day, Elvis had to do a certain type and Frank Sinatra had to do swing. But would they be on drill now? Imagine Frank Sinatra on drill or something.
It's the same, isn't it? It's the same with like, I mean, Amy Winehouse for me is a big one that I would like,
she's
especially.
Amazing.
Yeah. Like if she, you know, if she was still with us, what, you know, would we be getting like a Drake featuring Amy Winehouse? Would we be getting you know, a Calvin and Amy song? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, that'd you just don't know, do you?
Even like the Calvin Harris and Ellie Goulding song Miracle, like that's on trance. And trance is coming back now, which is the crazy thing.
I think it does that, doesn't it, music? It kind of has a resurgence every now and again.
Yeah. Like... sort of cyclical, like people love it. Then it sort of dies down a bit. Like UK Garage is a good example.
Yeah.
That hasn't really popped up again, like massively. So maybe that's the next one to pop up.
You never know. I think Leanne from Little Mix, her new track is very kind of... garage kind of sounding, so I don't know, maybe it's
having
it's
a return
time for that.
Or maybe you've just given me an idea. Maybe we'll see if it's a track next week. Garage,
I want a credit on that. I want a credit.
Taylor.
I do have a song with Sean Paul, so I'm the rapper. Yeah,
are you being serious?
It's about a minute long.
Oh my God.
I saw an opportunity. I had half an hour with him and I was like, if I do it like a 25 minute conversation, then there's 5 minutes there to get him to do like, and he changed the lyrics to, I don't really care what people say, to, I don't really care what people say. It's time to start waffling with Tay.
No,
so,
right.
I was like,
that is amazing.
So obviously there's a lot of people who have songs with Sean Paul, but I'm up there now with a feature. I mean, it will never see the light of day. It's literally purely for Instagram purposes, but you don't know.
I feel like Sean's on a podcast right now saying he has a song with Taylor. flipped it around. He's like, I hope it comes out.
It'll be the one that makes him.
Yeah.
We talk about coping mechanisms on the show quite a bit when things get a little bit heavy, like with music being my biggest one that I lean towards, just to kind of like help with the emotion and stuff. And you've mentioned... obviously, I know like you've got the music and you mentioned like boxing. Is there anything else that like when things do get a little bit heavy or you need a little bit of headspace that you lean towards?
Yeah, I mean, I personally like meditation actually quite a bit.
Yeah.
So I'm big into like manifestation, meditation. I've never done yoga. I don't think I could do the splits or anything like that. I mean, that would end in an injury. But
if I can make a song with Sean Paul, that anything is possible, Alex.
So yeah, true.
Don't give up on that dream.
I'd say I don't know if you know a guy called Eckhart Tolle or Eckhart Tolle. I don't know how you say his name. The Power of Now is a book, or Muji.
Maybe.
Okay, so basically, these guys that I think they're called gurus, and they basically tell you not to become attached to anything. So they say like attachment is the root of all evil. If you get too attached to something, then all you want is the material, and then you can't really go inside and be happy with nothing. I'd say meditation. I just sometimes I just sit there with my hands like that, cross my legs, don't do the splits. And I just try and be grateful. I feel like gratitude is the best attitude. That's what I
definitely. I like that. So if I'll take anything from this episode, it's that, because you're absolutely right. And I think to have that kind of like head on your shoulders at the, I don't want to sound condescending, but like at the age that you are, like it's only going to get better and only take you like to the places that obviously your talent is taking you to. Because it's something that I didn't experience till like I turned like 30. That was like, oh, okay, all these things that was like meditation doesn't work, journaling doesn't work, until I actually started doing them. Like, oh, okay, this is this is actually life changing.
You know what? Yeah, you know what? This is actually like made my life 20 times better. But but yeah, it's little things like meditation. I, you know what? A big thing is also for me is gym. I feel like when I don't go to gym for a while, I feel like I haven't done anything with the day. I love a bit of gym.
Well, it's good for your head and like your heart.
Yeah, and heart. It releases like endorphins, serotonin, dopamine. I love it, man.
Is there, I mean, to be fair, this might be like a bit of a deep question now, because obviously I know, obviously your dad being the incredible producer that he is, and obviously even now, like with, you know, the songs that you've said that have hit kind of like big milestone numbers, you know, in such a, like a, I guess, very early on into like your musical career. Is there a layer of pressure or even potential like self-doubt? And like, how do you navigate that if obviously that's a thing?
You know what? I mean, in terms of self-doubt and pressure, I'm, as I said before, I'm quite a laid-back person. Yeah. Like, if I shift it to exams, I literally crammed 2 years of studying in uni into 3 days. So I don't think I feel that much pressure. But yeah, I'll tell you what, with singles, you do think, will this single do well? Will it not? Like, what do people want? What's the trends and stuff like that? But at the end of the day, I think the best place to be is a song that you like personally. Because I do feel like if you love it, then it may resonate with other people. So I feel like you shouldn't focus too much on the trends and stuff like that, is what I'd say. But yeah.
No, I love that though, because it's I think that's what you, how you know you're doing things for the right reasons. Because, I mean, it means quite clearly means a lot to you. And like your heart is in it. Because I think, you know, you, especially in this kind of generation, you can fall into a bit of a trap of like, if your heart's not in it, but then you kind of just keep doing it for the sake of doing it. And then it ends up not having the best kind of outcome, or you can almost like hear it sometimes, like whether it's like on in a conversation or a song that you're just like, oh, I think that was just put out for the sake of being put out.
Yeah, I feel like Lewis Capaldi is a good example, because he releases a lot of very sad songs and from his heart. And some people may think, oh, why is there so many sad songs? But I love it because it's like genuine. He really means what he writes. And yeah, he's another person I want to work with, actually. Oh, I feel like he'd be hilarious, man.
Him and Adele are up there with me for like dream guests. Like, there's something about their lyrics that really speak and kind of communicate things that I can't communicate.
Yeah, they're very poetical. That, no, not poetical, poetic. Yeah, that was ironic. I got the wrong word on poetic.
And that's why you stay in uni.
Yeah, that's why you need to keep studying. I've only been to 2 out of 200 lectures. I probably would have learned that word.
This is a bit of a curveball one, but like, what was this the last song that you listened to?
Oh, that's actually very hard. I'd probably say, what? Oh my God, that's thrown me. I'm going to have to say, oh, actually, I know what it was, because I started learning it on piano. It was Richard Marx's Right Here Waiting.
Oh, that's a bit of a pull on the heartstrings. I know, I wasn't expecting that.
Sad ballad, isn't it? And you know what? I don't know if you could tell, I sound a tiny bit like Marge Simpson right now. A tiny bit.
Well, I was going to blame like Ayanapa for that.
Exactly, because I was going to say, in Ayanapa, I was we did karaoke every night, and it completely lost my voice. And I was singing Richard Marx Right Here Waiting. Everyone was singing really happy songs. They were singing like, I don't know, like most happy songs, and I was singing that, and I was pouring my heart out.
I just imagine those poor people walking past you on the strip, like, oh God, he's having a belter of a holiday. He is.
Yeah, I know. They're like, what? They're trying to have a good time going to the strip, and they start crying here in Richard Marx. Literally, that's
fair. This is a nice segue, because I have three final questions that I ask each and every one of my guests, and honest answers only.
Okay.
With this. Okay. I'm ready. So obviously you've got the Richard Marx there that you're bouncing out on holiday. It's a bit of a sad banger.
Yeah.
But on the flip side of that, is there a song or even like an artist or an album that as soon as you hear, you'll run into the dance floor?
Yeah, I'd say. Well, I feel like I'm repeating myself, but Avicii.
Yeah.
If there's Avicii, Don't Wake Me Up. I love that tune. Don't wake me up till it's...
Do you know what, though? That's what's brilliant about Avicii is the fact that, because that song to me is very country, and it's like country and dance, and then it's like, I think it's still one of the biggest selling songs of all time.
You know what? I think that's the exact reason, because he coalesced two genres that you wouldn't think to put together.
Coalesced?
Yeah,
you've redeemed yourself now from the poetical. Yes.
I've fixed it.
Well played. You brought that one right back.
Thank you very much. Yeah, so I'll tell you, Avicii, Don't Wake Me Up. I'd say, what's that song by Calvin Harris? He released one with Sam Smith, Desire.
Desire, that's a new... yes.
You are my desire. I love that tune, man.
To get anything that Calvin puts out, I'm like instantly, it'll go straight into my like top playlists. On the flip side of obviously the bangers that you're having, like, you know, you're running to the dance floor, is there a song or an album that kind of pulls on the heartstrings and kind of might bring a tear to the eye?
Might bring a tear to the eye. Wow. I'm going to say... You know what? I like Landslide by
Fleetwood Mac.
Fleetwood Mac, yeah. That one's quite emotional. You might catch me crying, shedding a tear or two to that.
Yeah, respect
that. And what was the other question?
That was it. Oh, he brings out the emotion, yeah.
Yeah, I'll say Landslide. I think that's it, really. I mean, I've got so many. There's so many emotional songs, man. There's so many.
I loved literally, like, there was a... I probably should joke about this, but, you know, I've been in that place that you should always kind of, like, if someone is feeling kind of, like, depressed and or down, they will always have the best sad song playlists.
Oh, man. You know what? In a weird way, I was speaking to my friend about this, and he loves up, like, lifting bangers, and you think I would as well, which I do, because I do make them. But something about, like, you know when you're, like, on a train and you're staring out the window, and you're listening to a really sad song. I love it. I don't know why.
Do you know the amount of people I've asked that to? And they're like, this kid's a weirdo. That, do you know what? Yeah, you're up there now. You're in the top three wafflers. Thank you for that. Completely just validated everything that this podcast stands for.
Oh, wow. I feel privileged for that.
Final question. Is there a song, and there's no beef whatsoever, like, I'm not going to, like, wheel them out and, like, you can tell it to their face or anything, but is there a song that you would like to put in a box, wrap in chains, kick to the bottom of the ocean, never hear again?
Oh, that one's hard. I'm going to say maybe... Oh, that's hard. That's very hard. I'm going to say, what's that Cap and I Joe song? I don't know why. Every time I hear that, it gets my name.
Is it...
Cotton Eye Joe.
Oh my God, Cotton Eye Joe.
Where did you go? I don't know why. That one annoys me, man. I want to get rid of that song.
To be fair, it's up there. It's the same with, like, Baby Shark and all those other kind of... All of them.
Sorry, I've just changed
Let's go.
I watched the Barbie movie the other day. You know that Hey Ken? I don't know if I like Hey Ken or
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, there's a song in there. I can't remember what it's called, Hey Ken, but I don't know.
But banger of a soundtrack, by the way, and produced by Mark Ronson. So,
was it? You know, my favourite song from there, though, I'll flip it to a positive, is What Was I Made For by Billie Eilish.
I don't know if you... Yeah, goosebumps with that.
She's amazing. She's amazing.
Literally, you have been an absolute belter of a guest to waffle with. Like, not that you need it, but best of luck, obviously, with the single. It's out everywhere now, with featuring the brilliant Molly Rainford. But thank you so much for joining me for a waffle.
Thank you so much for having me, mate. It's been a pleasure.
Hold up.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
You've been listening to the Waffle Shop podcast with me, Taylor James. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and even leave a review. It means the world to me. See you soon.